How's that? Everybody here? No? Yep, there we are. I can hear myself anyway. All right. Over the last, would you believe it, it is 6 months ago since Heather got that crush injury on the leg. Unreal, isn't it? Time flies. Must be getting older. But me, I don't know whether all of you know this, but because of that crush injury, Heather hasn't been able to drive all that much. In fact, this week she was able to drive to Tincan Bay without having too many ill effects from on her leg. But coming down, we've been able to listen to the radio. Now, this is free advertisement for 91.5 and also 105.1 Harvey Bay Rema. Because 91.5 at around about 20 to 6, Joyce Meyer is on. 5 past 6 on 105, we have Dr. Charles Stanley from America. And he's on. And I tell you, Heather will back me up on this, tremendous teaching. And real feet on the ground, down to earth stuff. And so it's because of this, what we're going to look at this morning comes from a combination of what we've been listening to. And so, and also, because as I said before, feet on the ground, down the worst stuff. Heather and I are going through a situation right now, and I can't give you details, but it's a little bit, can I say, nerve-wracking. There's a bit of fear. But God has been teaching me in particular, and I know Heather as well, about faith. Can you really, really, really trust me to see this situation through? And so that's what we aim to look at this morning. What is faith? And if you wouldn't mind, please turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And Paul, writing to the Hebrews, explains what faith is really about. Faith has always been the mark of God's servants from the beginning of the world. The same things of our hope, in verse 1, we'll read that in a moment, are the object of our faith. So Paul says this, chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 1. What is faith? It is a confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. God gave his approval to people in the days of old because of their faith. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. You know, faith is a firm persuasion and expectation that God will perform all that he has promised to us in Christ Jesus. You know, most of us, probably all of us, have been to funerals. In the last 3 or 4 months, I've lost an uncle, and I've also lost an auntie. Both of them loved the Lord. And the difference between a Christian funeral, where we know that we have hope, we know absent from the body, present with the Lord. Yes, there are tears. We're sad to see them go. In some cases, well, in the case of my auntie, whose mind went, my mum, her sister, said, I just wish Maisie would pass on. I don't want to see her suffer anymore. It's a blessing when one passes on, isn't it? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. But then we go to a different funeral where there's no hope. And there's absolute fear and tragedy. I'm sure you've experienced that. And so we have a tremendous hope as Christians that what God has promised, He will do. He saved us. If the Lord Jesus is living in our lives, He has saved us. And when we pass from this place to be with Him, it's real. It's real. In verse 3 it says, God created all that we can see. You know, I don't know if you've seen it. We've got the DVD at home. Hands up who have seen the DVD, Indescribable. A few hands gone up. Look, if I remember, I'll bring it down. We'll leave it in the bookstore. Indescribable looks at the universe from the telescope that the Americans have got up in space. It is unbelievable. And to know that God made what we see. And one of the amazing things that we showed Max and Benny a year or two ago, one of the last photos that they've taken, and this is hundreds of thousands of light years out in space, in the middle of this, whatever it is, you know what's there? There's a cross. There's a cross. God made it all. Tremendous. Do you really believe that? So, Paul encourages us to believe and to have faith in what God has done. Throughout Scripture, there are many examples shown by people of faith. And this morning, I'm going to look at three types of faith. And the first one is in... The first one is in Matthew chapter 8. Now, I've been outside on the ocean three times. One out in the Barwon Banks, one out off towards the top of Fraser Island, and one out near Melville Island, I don't know how many miles out from Darwin. And each time, I've ended up feeding the fish. And it wasn't all that lumpy. But have you ever been in a real storm? Tony, you've been in real storms on the ocean? I reckon it would have to be pretty hairy, wouldn't it? You know, particularly at night time, and you've got lightning, 30-foot waves, and yeah, you know, it's on for young and old. Matthew chapter 8, there's an account there of Jesus with the disciples in their little wooden boat on the Sea of Galilee. And things are really, really, really rough. And remember, quite a few of these guys are actual fishermen. They've been out there, done that. And yet it was so bad, here was Jesus asleep. And the disciples were absolutely terrified. And they eventually got to him and said, Lord, wake up, we're going to drown. And, you know, it's amazing after seeing the miracles that they'd seen, that they, he was the Son of God. Some of them admitted that. Some of them realised that. And Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? I'm here. Even though it's rough, I'm here. And he spoke the word and he said, be still. And the disciples were absolutely amazed, weren't they? So, how much faith have we got? You know, this world is getting pretty hairy. You know what I mean? Things aren't real crash hot. And, you know, I'm glad I'm not going to Brisbane next week. Because, you know, these sorts of things are happening. And, you know, how much faith have we got in the Lord Jesus and in God that He will keep His promises and look after us? There's another case of little faith. And I dare say, I've never seen... Who has seen Min Min lights? Anybody seen Min Min lights? They're pretty scary. I've never seen one. And I understand, you know, if you're travelling out west and either in a car or a train and, you know, the trees are flying past and you see this little light in the distance. You know, I dare say the hair stands up on end. And you're making being out in the boat again, the disciples in Matthew 14, and they're out in their boat, and you know it was a bit rough. And then all of a sudden they see somebody coming towards them walking on the water. Those of you who are, if ever you go to New Zealand, go to Rotorua. I think it's in Rotorua, if I remember rightly. And down near the lake, there's a church. You're sitting towards the back of the pew, and they've got a stained glass window over on one side. And there's a picture of Christ walking on the water. The ocean's, the lake is right behind you. Beautiful. Make sure you go and see it if ever you go to New Zealand. But here was Jesus coming in towards these disciples. He'd been up in the mountains praying, and he was walking over to the disciples in the boat. Well, you can imagine, they were absolutely petrified, terrified. What do we do? And Jesus said, "Don't worry, it's me." And just to confirm it, who said, Peter says to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come out to you." Yeah, come on, come over. And so Peter steps out of the boat. And of course, instead of keeping his eyes on the water, his feet got wet. The waves started coming towards him. "Lord, help me." He was sinking. And Jesus reached out and said, "Oh, Peter, why didn't you really trust me? You've got little faith. Little faith." You know, as I've been, as Heather and I have been facing these issues that we're facing at this time, that's been the challenge for me. How much faith have you got, Bruce? So often when we face issues and situations, what do? We worry. And it's, we doubt. And our faith is small. One of the things that Joyce Meyer said on the radio there a week or two ago, she was talking about this sort of thing, and she said, you know, when Satan is really crowding you with doubt, get up on your feet and say it out aloud. "Lord, I'm trusting you. I believe that you're leading the way." And say it out aloud. You know, I feel good even saying that right now. Because, you know, we've just got to confirm that, Father God, we are walking with you, we're living for you, we want to be your girl, we want to be your boy, and you've got the future in your hands. Now, that was a tremendous encouragement when Joyce said that to me. Please increase our faith. Please increase my faith. Many a time I confess that my faith is rather small. Matthew 21:21, Jesus said, "I assure you, if you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this mountain, 'May God lift you up and throw you into the sea.' And it will happen. If you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer." Whatever you ask for in prayer, we believe God will do it. And so, the next one we have, well, we have little faith. The next one we have great faith. Jesus was in Capernaum on this occasion, in Luke chapter 7. And we read about a Roman soldier. Remember, way back in Jesus' time, the Romans had control of Israel. And this Roman soldier, no doubt, was a centurion, and he had a servant who he absolutely admired, he respected, in fact I would say he even loved him. And this servant was on the point of death. And the soldier heard that Jesus was in Capernaum right there and then, and so he sent a message to Jesus, "Please come and heal my servant." And Jesus started moving towards his house. But as he got closer to the house, he sent one of his other servants, He said, go out to Jesus and say, look, I don't want you to come to my house. I feel that I'm not worthy of you coming into my house and healing my servant. Just say the word. Just say the word where you are. And the amazing thing that Jesus said, he was amazed and said that he hadn't seen such great faith in all of Israel. And there and then, as soon as he said that, immediately that servant was healed. Great faith. You know, I've experienced, I wouldn't say great faith, but better faith, because what Jesus has done for us. Matthew 15. Verse 21. Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and a Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter has a demon in her and is severely tormenting her. But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. Tell her to leave. She is bothering us with all this beating. And then he said to the woman, I was sent only to help the people of Israel, God's lost sheep, and not the Gentiles. But she came and worshipped him and pleaded again, Lord, help me. It isn't right. Jesus said, it isn't right to take food from children and to throw it to the dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs are permitted to eat crumbs that fall beneath their master's table. Woman, Jesus said to her, your faith is great. Your request is granted. You know, at that time, Jesus was ministering to the Jewish people, and here was a Gentile woman who believed that Jesus could heal. And she begged him. She wouldn't let go. And Jesus commended her for her great faith. Now, there's a tremendous song written by a Salvation Army group, and it says this, have faith in God, look up and hope again. He understands the wayward hearts of men. Have faith in God, learn to believe again. Have faith in God, His love will never fail. Look to the future and face it without fear. Almighty God has promised to be near. Have faith in God. Commit your life to Him. Have faith in God. His love will never fail. Tremendous words, eh? Tremendous words to have faith in God. And so we have little faith and we have great faith. And dare I say it, we have perfect faith. And you know, I marvel at, go back to Hebrews chapter 11. And I marvel at what God did with Abraham. You imagine, okay, John and Karen are going on a trip. Okay, they're going with Duncan Polly, and it's a mystery trip. And believe this, you know, Polly coaches Duncan. Used to live here beside the op shop. That's where he used to live, and that's where they had their family. His father, when I was a young fella, and I mean 5, 6 year old, his father had this old, I can't think of the name of the old bus that he had now. But anyway, he had this old bus, and he was the one who drove into Gympie daily in the old bus. Jesse, that's the old bus. And there wasn't a door in the jolly thing. So when we went to school in it, one of us big fellas, me or Peter Buchanan, had to stand in the doorway to keep all the bags in. I tell you what, workplace health and safety have a fit if they saw it nowadays. But anyway, Duncan, he has his buses And he would advertise a mystery trip. You had no idea where you were going. And this is going back, 15, 20 years ago. Quite often, that mystery trip would, Sandown Pineapple Company would be part of that mystery trip. Sometimes they would go up Walvi Mountain. They would go somewhere. But Duncan was the only one, and it was an all-day trip, meal supplied, the works. And Adriana, you remember some of those trips that Duncan organised? Too right. So, you imagine God saying to Abraham, "All right, Abraham, pack up. I want you to travel." And when you think about it, over an awful lot of desert and sand, heat, you name it. Now I want to show you the place where I want you to live. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed God when God called him to leave home and to go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in a tent, and so did Isaac and Jacob, to whom God gave the same promise. Abraham did this because he was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. You know, when we travel, we've generally got a destination, but you know, tremendous faith. In fact, I would say perfect faith. When you read Genesis 22, this account, you don't see Abraham saying, "Why me? Where are we going? Come on, where, north, east, south, or west? Where are we going?" But Abraham packed up and he left. Took his family, took all his animals, and he moved on with God. In verse 11, we read, "It was by faith that Sarah, together with Abraham, was able to have a child, even though they were too old and Sarah was barren. Abraham believed that God would keep his promise." Great faith, tremendous faith, perfect faith. And so the whole nation came from this one man, Abraham, who was too old to have any children. A nation with so many people that, like the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore, there is no way to count them. And down to verse 17, "It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac." You know, we've enjoyed having a new grandchild, and I must say, the poor, Tristan's outnumbered 5-1. We've got 5 granddaughters and 1 grandson. But it's tremendous when new life comes into the family, isn't it? You know, Ella was born preemie, and in 5 weeks she's filling out. She's growing. Tremendous. And you know, when you see Abraham and Sarah, 100-year-old. Now, I dare say, I don't think there's any 100-year-olds here, but I dare say there are a lot of ladies here who would say, "Been there, done that, I'm not having kids at 100-year-old. Yeah? It just doesn't happen, does it? And yet here, God says to Sarah and Abraham, "You're going to have a child, a son." And sure enough, along comes Isaac. You know, it must have been a tremendous time and tremendous celebration for that couple. And then, as Isaac grew up, we read that God challenged Abraham again. And he said, "Abraham, I want you to take Isaac, take some wood, take some, take a fire, and I want you to make a sacrifice." So Abraham, as you read in chapter 11, verses 17 to 19, Abraham takes a couple of servants and a donkey. He takes the wood. He takes the fire. And when they get to the mountain that God pointed out to Abraham, he told the servants to stay there with the donkey, and they moved up onto the mountain. And Isaac said to his dad, and these are tremendous words, that, you know, tremendous faith. Isaac said to his dad, "Dad, you've got the wood, you've got the fire. Where's the sacrifice?" And what did Abraham say? "God will provide the lamb. God will provide the lamb." And up on that mountain, he built the altar, he put the wood there, and he took Isaac and he laid him on the altar. He had the knife in his hand, and he was about to slay him. And God said, "Don't do it." And then he looked around behind him, and here was an animal caught in a prickly bush. You know something, friends? When God challenges us to move into a particular area, whatever it is, you know, it's amazing. There's one thing that Heather and I have proven, that God goes before. He prepares the way. You really believe that? You know, without going into detail, a number of years ago, Heather and I were in rather financial state, not real crash hot. We had some animals. And God spoke to me, and he said to me in a clear voice, I was in my old ute, and nobody else. And God said to me, "Bruce, sell your cows." Just like that. Sell your cows. You know, within 2 hours, I was growing small crops out at Chatsworth. Within 2 hours, an old couple who were picking beans for us came to me. Duncan, his name was. He came to me and he said, "Bruce, are you interested in selling that black and white cow and those two calves?" True as I'm standing here. God prepares the way. For Abraham, he was about to kill his son. And you know, in one of those verses, it says that Abraham believed that if he killed his son, killed Isaac, God would raise him up from the dead. Tremendous faith. Tremendous faith. And so, how do we get this sort of faith? Let me say this. Study that. Read it. Learn it. Use it. Trust it. Believe in it. And you know, I must confess, I don't get into it enough. But I do know that that's the way. Jesus said, remember, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And God's word is so precious. And you know, thinking about this, because of the weather, we've been doing a lot of irrigating. And what I've been talking about this morning is, you know, it's been running through my head quite a bit. And I was just saying, "Lord, how can we sow this up?" And you know, God just so clearly said to me, reminded me of an old hymn. And I'm sure many of you know it. And he brought this to my mind. "When upon the storms of life you're tossed about, when you are discouraged and begin to doubt, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." Can we all say amen to that? Amen. Thank you. Simon.